G'day guys, welcome to this episode of the Inner City Hermit. This one's a pretty big one today because it is the first guest that we have had on. And yes, I did say I was going to do this video a while ago, but we got my girlfriend Kia Pates on. Now Kia is a dietitian, but we didn't really talk too much into food. We focused mainly on things to do with traveling to Japan. So one of the things I get asked, and she gets asked quite a bit, is like, you know, things to do in Japan and what to prepare for, what's the budget like. So in this episode we really dive into part one of what you should expect when going to Japan, and also little tips and stuff to getting on the way. So I'll link all of Kia Pates's Kia's socials. You can follow her at @theplantbase_dietitian on Instagram. I hope that's correct. If it's not, she's going to murder me. And you can also access her via her website, which I will be posting below. Enjoy this episode of the podcast. It's a long one, but it doesn't really feel that long. But yeah, anyway, enjoy it. Sit down, have a coffee, have a water, and yeah, enjoy. Peace out. Okay, welcome back to another episode of the Inner City Hermit. This time it's a big day for the hermit, as we have our first guest.
Who's your girlfriend?
Who is my girlfriend? So I'm cheating. It doesn't count, but I'm still going to count it because we are talking today all things Japan with the lovely Kia Pates, or as most of her followers know her as, the
plant-based dietitian.
There you go, the plant-based dietitian.
I feel like you weren't even going to remember that.
No, look, I did. I almost forgot. I went to go do your old one, and then I even tried to tag you in the Instagram, and I stuffed up. So I'm still learning. Give me a break. Okay. So yeah, we're talking all things Japan today. We've both kind of been we get bombarded with questions, I think, from our friends a fair bit around Japan and, you know, things to do there. I think I've even got saved in my phone like a notes thing that if anyone ever wanted to know anything, I usually just copy and paste it. And I'm pretty sure I sent it to you like a few times as well, hey?
Yeah, because I've got the same on my friend. Everyone goes to Japan.
Yeah.
Every year you hit January or end of the year and everyone's Instagram photos are just on the ski slopes in Japan.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's definitely one of those places now where it's a lot more affordable to travel to with Jetstar? With Jetstar doing like cheap flights and all that stuff, and then kind of utilizing those cheap flights to go on like a ripping holiday. So I think last time we were there was, it was January?
Yeah, so we went January. Oh, sorry. Did we go January or December? No, we went December. So we actually went over Christmas, which was kind of cool. Yeah. And we got to, and New Year. Oh, no. No, were we here for Christmas?
No, we were there.
Yeah, so we were there for Christmas and we were there for New Year's. So kind of both of our first Christmas away from our families, which was a little bit sad. Matson was very sad.
Yeah, because I'm a Christmas bug.
Yeah. So, but it was really fun doing New Year's there. A lot of people, we did talk to some people before about what they thought New Year's in Japan would be like. We actually, and Christmas as well, we weren't sure what their like cultural stuff around Christmas and New Year was.
Whether they even, especially with New Year's, whether they even kind of gave a shit. But it was kind of, it was good. I think a lot of pubs and bars kind of bought into like the westernized stuff, and they knew, I guess, there's a market there. So they kind of went in and went above and beyond, especially with the places that we went to.
Yeah.
I mean, I stayed out longer than you.
Yeah, because I can't stay out long.
And I went to karaoke.
Yeah, so maybe say what you did, because that, like, well, together we went to this bar. We went to a few different bars. We were in what's it called, Osaka at the time.
Yeah.
Went to a few different bars and we met up with some friends that Matson's friends with from Australia.
Yeah.
And we hung out with them, and the alcohol there is ridiculously cheap.
It is
as
really
well
cheap, and it's real as well. Like a lot of places, like for example, you know, Bali, you're getting like spirits there. Who really knows what they're using? But
yeah,
in Japan, I think you can buy a bottle of vodka pretty much for, I think it's $10. Like about $10.
Yeah.
$10 for it, and a Smirnoff too. So all the stuff you're getting in bars and stuff is
and
legit.
We went to like look, a lot of different places are different prices in terms of drinks and whatnot. But I remember there was one little restaurant in Japan we went to, and we were having cocktails, or you know,
sorry,
cocktails was, for 200 yen.
And 200 yen's about $1. No,
it's $2.
So Australian, about 100 yen. Give or take, you know, the currency exchange, whether our dollar's good or not. But we usually go, and sometimes just to make ourselves feel better, like we're not spending as much money, we just go 100 to a dollar.
Yeah.
Usually, roughly, it's actually about 80 yen is the dollar.
Yeah, but who can do maths that good?
Yeah, if you round up, it makes you feel better.
Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, so we went to that bar for New Year's, and we became friends with actually one of the bartenders there.
Yeah, shout out to Yo-Yo. I know Yo-Yo follows the podcast. Thanks for that night, Yo-Yo. It was great.
Yeah, we had so much fun.
It was really good. Really.
And then, yeah, because he was working on the top floor where we were eating and drinking, and then we went down to the bottom floor.
Yeah, that's right. And that's where we celebrated the countdown.
Yeah, the countdown, and I went home
And I went to karaoke, and it was a blur from there. I remember one thing I did that was kind of a stupid Australian moment for me. In Japan, when they're intoxicated, they're very secretive about it. They don't like people knowing they're drunk. But unfortunately, Australians, we kind of let everybody know we're drunk. And we went to karaoke. And karaoke in Japan's just next level, because what you do is you pay about $20, and you could have been there, but you went home. You pay 20 bucks each, and you get a booth. You get your own little private room for about an hour. And all you do is there's a phone in there. You pick up the phone and say, "Yeah, mate, can I please grab 3 vodka Red Bulls?" And they bring it straight to you, and it's all you can eat. Oh, sorry, all you can drink. So as Australians, it's dangerous. And I remember leaving in all sorts. And I actually thought I forgot my jacket, and I ran back up the stairs to what I thought was my room, and I ended up bursting into a room filled with about 9 young Japanese girls doing karaoke, and I'm pretty sure every one of them shit themselves as I burst in the room. I saw absolute fear in all their eyes, but I don't remember much of that night, but I remember that.
Yeah, and you had the worst hangover the next day. But it was so nice because nothing was open the next day.
And
so
we just slept.
Which is good and bad, because we literally slept in bed all day. But it was also bad because we were eating out most of the time. Well, not most of the time, but especially there, we hadn't prepared in advance. We didn't buy any food. We literally went to like 5 different supermarkets and they're all shut.
And I think that's a big thing. They've got so many different holidays, and you're not really aware, like they're not like, you know, the normal Western holidays. They have holidays for pretty much everything
because of they have different religions over there as well. So we obviously and have mostly Christians.
Yeah. So for example, you could wake up randomly and then all of a sudden nothing's open and you're questioning why nothing's open. And then you'll ask the local and they're like, "Oh, it's King's holiday or something." And you wouldn't know about it because they don't advertise anything. So all of a sudden you go from this abundance of eating all this fantastic food to you have to eat ramen noodles from 7-Eleven for the next 24 hours.
But speaking of food, the food over in Japan is awesome. Like it definitely was a bit harder for us because we're vegan. So trying to find vegan food in a country that
used
to that was difficult.
Yeah. I kind of got a good perspective of it. Perspective, thank you. Because I went as a vegan and I also went as a non-vegan with like my mates. So there was, as a non-vegan, speaking from experience, you can get whatever you want. The food there is unbelievable. And you know, like I'm just speaking for just taste-wise, I'm not saying, I don't want to get into that conversation, but yeah, like you could go to Korean barbecue places, and they're pretty cheap too, unless you get Kobe beef. I went with a couple mates 2 years ago, and I that was a trip I didn't do in the snow, and I didn't go with Kia, unfortunately. She was at home, sad. We went, we did Korean barbecue. Obviously, I sat there with my bowl of edamame, which we'll talk about later, but that's like the vegan's go-to. But the boys got all this meat, and then one of the guys got Kobe beef, and it was so expensive.
Oh, really?
Yeah, ridiculous. And I don't know if you've seen Korean barbecue, eh? It's like tiny little strips of meat. It's not like, you know, it's not a steak or anything. Yeah. So I guess it really depends on what you want in terms of getting expensive stuff.
Yeah, so if you are a vegan, though, the best kind of thing to do is... Well, we watched so many different YouTube videos before we went, which was awesome. And we also used Happy Cow quite a lot. So
if you search vegan in Japan on YouTube, there's...
Yeah, there's actually tons of restaurants that are vegan. And honestly, sometimes I feel like it's kind of more exciting as well, because you're like, oh, can I eat here?
Am I going to starve today? Yeah, am exactly. I going to die here?
But we went to some awesome places. Yeah. And literally everywhere that we went, so all the different cities we went, even like little cities. Remember we went to, what's it called? Where's all the
forest? Arashiyama.
And we found this cutest, and again, this was a holiday. And so like, we were like, oh, we can't find anything. It was a holiday or something.
No, it was the same. I think it was a king's birthday or something. I don't know what it was.
So we were trying to find all these places and everywhere was closed, but we ended up finding this really, really cute little place. And we'll probably put a video up there here because I ended up videoing everything because I was going to create some YouTube videos for it and then I didn't, but it was so cute.
I think it was run by a family.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was called, but we'll definitely try add whatever it is called here.
I'll try and add as much in as I can, but I think so. Do you want to start with we had one question come in, and I think we'll get to food and stuff like that a little bit later where we can talk about it as like a whole thing, but you had one question come in off your Instagram. I didn't get any because one follows me. Follow me if you're coming from Kiers, the plant-based dietitian. We had a question around budgeting, and I think that's an important question just coming from my experience, and I mean your experience too, because I mean the first time we went to Japan, we were at uni, we don't exactly have an abundance of money now, but we didn't have a huge budget to go off. But I think
also I way prefer to have holidays on budgets because then you can go for longer, you can do more stuff generally, and like I'm not into spending tons and tons of money on luxurious stuff anyway.
No, and I find a lot of the stuff you can do in Japan's definitely one of those places where if you just wanted to go out for a day and not spend any money, there's enough kind of there to, like, not, I wouldn't say distract you, but there's enough there for you to do just go by going around. I mean, going around by train, probably you could get around all day on a train for about $10.
Yeah.
If that.
Yeah. It's honestly, a lot of the prices of Japan are quite similar to Australia. But if we say, look at flights. So we've been to Japan. Well, I've been twice.
Yeah. And I think twice? I've been five or six.
Yeah,
Madison's
been quite a few times. But say, let's look at the different times like I went, for example. So we first went a few years ago. We're both still at uni, so we had a lot more flexibility. And we went in, it was end of February. And that was a really good time to go because we could still go on all the ski slopes. So it was still winter, which is pretty much one of the main reasons why we do go. But it also wasn't peak season because it wasn't school holidays, so we ended up getting flights there too for about $600 return.
$600 return, and I know it's August now, and I know Jetstar is still kind of organizing or still advertising flights. I think you can go at the end of February to the end of March at the moment, and you can get return flights for $700. Unfortunately, I think because of the demand of how many people are going to Japan now, I think they are, a lot of these budget airlines are actually upping their prices in that it's still cheap. Like $700 return flight to Japan is pretty unreal. Like it's a 9-hour flight, so it's a big flight.
But we didn't get, we had to stop over. So we had to stop over in KL, Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia. We had a 12-hour stopover and that was hell. Yeah. That was not fun at all. Yeah, it was okay on the way there, but on the way back, it was the worst. And I was so sick and I had this fever and just lying in the airport floor for 12 hours.
No one knows how to use the toilet there.
No,
everyone just pisses on the floor.
Yeah,
like I walked into the, like, you know when, okay, you probably don't know this as a girl, you might know this, but when there's just like water all over the floor in a public toilet, you kind of have to do that. You pull down your pants and you have to tuck the bottom of your pants back up into your undies so that your pants don't touch the ground.
Yeah, okay, so I can understand maybe like why that could happen as a guy, right?
Yeah, like that.
You know, because
big hoses.
Essentially. Yeah. But like as a girl, like the toilets in KL were terrible. Literally, I hope you weren't wearing thongs there because the water on the floor was ankle deep
and you know, piss water.
Yeah, but like it's all because they have those bidets, but they don't have the nice bidets like Japan. Like Japan toilets are amazing.
I like the robotic bidets that just bzzz.
Yeah. Yeah. But in terms of in KL though, they literally have hoses. I don't really understand how it works because I'm not like we've never grown up with that here in Australia.
You don't want to leave the toilet still moist.
Yeah, essentially. And I think a combination of that being sick and we were in some bad part. Like apparently the KL airport's not
too. There's two airports. There's an old one. We were in the old one because we were in the stopover one. And then there's the we were in the domestic one for some reason. And there's Kuala Lumpur also have that international terminal that's brand new.
Yeah, so we...
I know my brother and dad, Brad and Jeffrey, went and they were in the newer one. They said it's unreal. That was like, they're saying it was like Singapore.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, back to... So, yes, you can You can get direct flights through Jetstar, depending on when you go. It's definitely February... excuse me. Definitely February through to March. So end of ski season. They kind of aim for that end of the ski season. So if you are a uni student, it's probably perfect. About $700 return.
And highly recommend going while you're in uni so you don't have to go in school holidays. I mean,
yeah, kind of. I'm stuck in school holidays now. And, of course, you know, you're stuck there as well. So we went on school holidays last time. And I think our last flights ended up costing us about $1,500.
Yeah.
So but they were nice. They were...
It was direct.
Did we fly Jetstar? We did, didn't we? Yeah. It was direct Jetstar. So
9 hours.
I do recommend Jetstar for the flight. It's... I think it's pretty... I've never had really an issue with Jetstar in terms of flying to Japan. Like, it is a long flight, but...
You just have to be careful of the baggage, because haven't they changed the...
Yes, that's a great point. Okay.
They've
changed it for the better. So if you are going snowboarding in Japan, they have changed up the way they do it now. So you can actually pay for, you say, oversized baggage, and then you just pretty much put down just a weight like normal. So what you and I usually do, and if you're a couple and, you know, if you have your own stuff, we usually share a duffel bag, and then I pack all the snowboarding gear because we obviously have two boards, two sets of everything in my bag, and then I've got a little bit of space left over maybe for some clothes and stuff.
So it's more so you just have to be aware if you do have a snowboard. Like if you aren't an avid snowboarder or don't really take your stuff over there, you can hire all that stuff over there, which is awesome. But I do probably recommend anyway, as a side note, and we'll probably get into hiring and stuff, but it's probably worth it investing in your own snowboard especially and ski stuff.
Especially now with Facebook Marketplace. Yeah. You can pick up a board that's probably just as good as a rental board for probably about 200, 300 bucks.
Because how much was my board? It was really cheap.
Your board we got for about 200 bucks because old mate had no idea what he was selling, which is great.
I don't even think it was that expensive. I think it was cheaper than that.
We got board, bindings, and boots plus a...
No, we didn't get boots.
That's right, because he's still trying to hire the boots.
Yeah, which is annoying. We got
board, binding, and bag.
Yeah, like
for like $200.
There's upsides and downsides. So the upside is you have all your gear, so it's a lot cheaper when you're over there because you don't have to hire the stuff, and it's so expensive to hire stuff. But the downside is we had to lug, well, Mattson also had to lug this gigantic snowboard bag all around Japan for about 4 weeks.
I threw out my back on the fourth last day.
And the wheels went.
Yeah, one of the wheels broke. So. There are some pros and cons with hiring.
And because we obviously like to travel cheap, so we always took them on the trains. And the look of these people's faces when we took these giant, like my suitcase, which wasn't too bad, but that giant snowboard bag on the train.
Look, Japanese people, they're so polite and they're lovely and they're probably the nicest people on earth besides the Balinese. But they do definitely, if you inconvenience, so the big bag was, if you're on like a peak hour train, that big bag is definitely an inconvenience to a lot of people. I look at it as like, if you've ever seen a snowboard bag, it's just like this long big bag. It's the equivalent of like a person. So if you're on a train, that's kind of one less person that can get on the train. And that's kind of the way they look at it. So they do get a little bit annoyed, but at the same time, you're like,
Yeah. And what about other travel when we're in Japan? So obviously we get over there by flight. Yeah. So
let's stick to the budget thing first.
Are we talking about transport?
I thought we were talking about budget.
Okay.
Okay, sick. Okay, we'll get to the transport. Let's go budget okay, first.
It's
okay.
Your podcast. You lead it.
In a city Kia.
Yeah.
Okay, so for budgeting wise, you obviously, I would say probably anywhere between 700 and 1500 for flights.
Yeah.
Dependent on when you're going.
And that's if you're in Jetstar. Like, obviously, yes. If you go to places like with nicer airlines like Qantas or Emirates, it'll be much more expensive.
Yeah, for Jetstar, you can go Gold Coast direct, a lot cheaper, or you can get a Qantas flight for a bit more. We went from Gold Coast, and Qantas go direct from Brisbane, so depends where you go. AirAsia also fly out of, they did, I don't know if they do it now, but they fly Japan with a stopover, obviously in KL. Do not recommend it. It fucking sucks. I hated it.
That
so
was the
much.
Flight that had.
Yeah,
oh, that,
and
that
you got sick.
I got sick from the flight because we were on this AirAsia flight.
And I don't think they cleaned the
and
plane.
And I don't think they cleaned the plane or the toilets. And literally, you know, there's little blankets that you get given on flights. I had to put that over my head the whole time because it smelled like pee so badly. And I think that's what made me sick because I got to. Because it was on the way back. Because we got that flight from Japan to KL. And then by the time I was in KL, I was like fever and so sick.
It was gross.
It was not a good time. Don't recommend AirAsia if you can.
Yeah, but I mean, it all depends on your budget. And so when you get over there, obviously a big one that you will need. And there's no way around it. And there's a couple ways to do it is obviously transport, which Kia was just about to talk about. Now, you get into the airport and... the airport there is awesome. A lot of the flights that come in direct from Australia, you actually get there quite late at night. There's no other flights there. So you can get in and out of the airport pretty quickly, unless you have a snowboard bag, because they do all the oversized baggages last.
Oh, we were
so
waiting
Kia
there
sits
for
there,
ages.
Pissed off with a gross look on her face, like, I don't even like this. And she's got her bag. She's ready to go. She's pretty hungry. But I've obviously got to wait and usually wait with a whole bunch of other Aussies who bring the snowboard bags over too. So, it can be a bit of a wait, but, you know, you're there, you're on holidays. You just got to be patient.
And there's a Lawson's in the airport.
There
so,
is a Lawson's.
And we'll get more into food as well.
Fantastic.
But,
I was gonna say, don't sidetrack me. I'm already forgetting what I'm saying.
But they're like the best. Japanese convenience stores are the best thing ever. So when you're just come off this long flight where you didn't pay for food because we're budgeting and we don't ever buy food on there.
Poor.
Yeah, we like always go to the Lawson's, which is like a 7-Eleven, but amazing. It's like literally a mini supermarket, and there's one in the airport. So if you're starving and just get off the flight before you go on the train, highly recommend picking up some snacks. Over in the Lawson's, fuel you for the rest of the journey. Because we went on the train, didn't we?
We did. Yeah, I was just about to say. So coming from the airport, depending where you're going, I would probably recommend staying in Tokyo first. Okay, and the reason why I say that is just because getting from the airport, getting from Narita to Kyoto or Osaka takes a long time. Well, not really. Well, it takes a few hours.
Oh my
and
gosh!
If you did fly in there and you've just had a 9-hour flight and you need to get on a train or a bus for another 5 hours, it's not ideal. They do straight buses. Don't look at me when I say that. They do straight buses to the snow. If you are just going there for the snow, you can get on a straight up Snowlink bus. That's where they pile you onto an overnight bus. The overnight buses are actually quite comfortable. The seats recline, all that sort of stuff. And you can go directly to the snow. From Narita. But I would definitely recommend staying in Tokyo because it is one of the greatest places on the face of the earth.
And can I tell a story?
100%.
Okay, so when we went there the first time, we flew into Narita, didn't we?
We flew into Osaka.
And we... because again, all about budgeting. We were like, we got there really late. I think it was about 11 p.m. And what happened was we were like, oh, you know what? Like when we'd planned our journey, we're like, you know what? We'll just sleep in the airport overnight. Like sometimes they have little like you can sleep in the airport. You can get these little
boxes. I'll take the blame for that.
It was a really stupid idea. Anyway, so we got there. We're like, we are not sleeping in the airport. We do not want to be in this like this place for any longer. Because you know, traveling just makes you feel so sick and gross. Anyway, so we're like, just get on the Wi-Fi. We're like, yes, let's book some accommodation 11 p.m. at night in Kyoto. So we got up booking.com, got just booked some random hotel in Kyoto. Anyway, and then Mattson's like, yeah, let's go on the bus. So we literally raced downstairs, bought a bus ticket. I'm so glad he knew what he was doing because I wouldn't have. And then we literally got on a bus in the space of like, and organized all this in within kind of 30 minutes of arriving there. And this is kind of remembering that when you're over there, other than like this time we did have internet. Last time we didn't have internet other than just Wi-Fi. Anyway, so we're like, okay, we've better save where we're going so we actually know what to do. And Mattson was like, yeah, when we get to Kyoto, we're gonna go on the train and then get to this hotel. So we get to Kyoto and the bus drops us off and it is so cold. Yes. I am terrible. Like, besides the fact that I love Japan, I am terrible with the cold. We got there and I was like, you know what, Mattson? I'm opening my suitcase and I literally put on all my snow gear because I was that cold. Anyway, so then we're like, okay, let's go to the train station. So we go to the train station and the train station's closed because it's 1 a.m. By this time.
Yeah.
And the trains don't work at 1 a.m. there.
I just am remembering all the times I stitched this up.
Yeah, but excuse me, I'm still talking. Yeah, Mattson has this tendency of butting in. So anyway, so then we're like, okay, you know what? We'll just get a taxi. Now, this is, again, another downside of having a snowboard bag. So we get to the taxi rank.
They're really selling the snowboard idea.
Yeah. So we get to this taxi rank, and they have all these old school taxis there. So they don't have ones that you can fold down the seats. So try putting a giant snowboard bag into this tiny, literally 1970s taxi. And just doesn't work.
They're so polite, too, where, like, when we got to this cab, I kind of knew, like, my Tetris skills kind of came into play, and I knew how we could fit it in, but they're so polite that they don't let you help them.
Yeah.
So have you ever seen, you know, a scary movie when it's like Hans with the hand and he's like, no, I can do it. No, who is it? It's the guy in the bush. He's like, I can do it myself.
My strong hand.
That's kind of what it's like. They don't want any help. So I had to politely sit there cringing as this dude was chucking my snowboard around.
No, but we didn't even end up, so because we couldn't even fit it in those old school taxis. So what we had to do is we had to wait for all these taxis in this line to go through and people to get in them. You know, remembering that this is 1 a.m. in the morning and there is no one around to take these taxis until we got this giant bigger taxi and we could get in that because we could fit the snowboard in. Yeah. So we literally were waiting there for like half an hour to an hour or something it was just like, so highly recommend not sleeping in the airport, definitely booking somewhere and having a really good idea of where you're going and how you're getting there. But, you know, it's a good story.
I feel like that was kind of a half dig at me. You just sitting here shitting on my idea.
No,
it's all right, but like I took you to Japan, I did all the right things and you just want to shit on me. So, okay, back to where we were before Kia went on a long ass yarn. I'll just pick up all the yarn that you just let out. And then, so you got two options coming from the airport. That was a funny story though. I completely forgot about that. Far out, that was such a shit night. you're coming from the air. You got two options, especially if you come into Narita. You can catch a bus to Shinjuku or you can catch the Narita Express. Now, I would recommend if you have money, catch the Narita Express. You get there in about an hour. Whereas if you are catching the bus, especially at night, it is a really nice drive. For me, especially, I love driving through Japan. There's something kind of relaxing about it, but it does take you about 3 hours to get to Shinjuku Station. So, and the train's only about $30. So realistically, you could pay $20 for the bus.
What's the train called?
Narita Express.
Oh, Narita Express. Yeah. Okay.
But you do need to be careful. Like, make sure you say if you are... Shinjuku is usually the central part. That's usually where a lot of people stay. Make sure you say you're going to Shinjuku because the train is actually 16 carts long. And then halfway through the journey, they split into two different directions. So the first time I went to Japan with my mates, we were young, dumb 18-year-olds, and we just by chance got on the right carriage, but we were one carriage away from actually going to some other
place. How does it split?
I don't know, just let's go. I'm not a train driver. I don't know. Let's go halfway through. I think they get to a stop and then one goes one way and the other goes another way. There's
all these things that I don't even realize.
Exactly. You're lucky. I keep you alive when you're overseas.
Yeah.
Yeah, so one, and then, so that's a pretty cheap option. And then getting to Shinjuku now. Shinjuku is, I would think of Shinjuku as, it's like you're in a giant party and you don't know anyone. So you're trying to find help, but nobody really speaks English. There's all these lights going on. It's like 1 a.m, yet there's still a million people walking around. It's really hectic. So I would definitely recommend making sure that you locate your, use your GPS, maybe just for one day on off, you're with Vodafone. If you're trying to be conscious of it and you don't have a SIM card, turn your roaming data on, especially if you're with Vodafone.
Yeah, Optus does it too now. For $5 a day, you can access all your data.
Yeah.
So, like, helps me a lot because I always work overseas.
And I kind of look at it as it's a $5 investment. Oh, no. It's been stopped.
What's it say?
Maximum recording time has been... Okay, hang on. Keep this going. I'm going to return on the thingo.
We can just pause it.
No, we'll just add it in again. We're back. Apologies if you're watching the YouTube. I didn't realise it actually stopped at half an hour. That is my bad. I knew that. I'm such a goof. It's a setting thing. Don't worry about it. Anyway, we're back. Where were we? Shinjuku. Oh, yeah, turning your roaming data on. Turn it on. It's $5. You'll find out where you are. It's easy to find where you're staying. It's just worth it, especially if it's 1 a.m. You just want to get home, you want to get to bed, or maybe you want to go out, I don't know, but you need to drop your shit somewhere. So, yeah, definitely the best call.
And I highly recommend, so obviously we've been talking about getting into the hotel at 1 a.m. in the morning, which, you know, not everyone's going to be getting in at 1 a.m. But I do probably, so we did Airbnbs for a lot of our trip, but I recommend going in a hotel for the first night. The reason for that being is at most hotels...
24-hour check-in.
Yeah, 24-hour check... No, it's not.
Well, I don't know, it's till about 3 a.m.
No, 24-hour reception, you can't check in, like... at 7 a.m. in the morning. Oh, let me talk.
Sorry. Yeah, my bad.
Oh, okay. So essentially, the big thing is, so most check-ins are 2 p.m. or later. You can generally check in later. That's fine. But if you get, say, to your hotel at 7 a.m. in the morning, they can just generally hold your bags for you. Whereas if you're at an Airbnb, you can't do that.
Something I didn't think of.
Yeah. So we tried to do that at one Airbnb and literally got there an hour earlier and then someone's bags were still there. And so that was... in Osaka. That was kind of weird.
My Australian senses were tingling. I was like, I don't want to leave this here with other people.
Yeah, so it was kind of odd. But anyway.
So going on to now, like moving on to accommodation. So obviously getting from the airport's pretty cheap. Anywhere between $20 and $30. Pretty good. And then once you're there, you know, if you do want to cheat, I didn't even think about this. If you don't have a snowboard bag, you can just literally get out of the train station, grab a cab. Cabs are pretty cheap there. They're cheaper than Australia. So you can bundle all your shit into a cab and it'll take you straight there as long as you
But I would say definitely I'd go on the train. It's cheaper.
Oh, I mean,
like in terms of cheapness.
Yeah, I mean, when you get off the train.
Oh, okay,
in Shinjuku or wherever, Tokyo, wherever you're staying.
Yeah, and on the topic of transport anyway, like if you're trying to travel all over... we should probably talk about the other transport options.
I would...
So, when we went to Hakuba?
Yeah. So, when we went to Kyoto, so this was halfway through our trip, we were in Tokyo for only 2 days, so there was no real need to get a travel pass. But then we actually went to Kyoto. Now, Kyoto and Hiroshima, if you want to go to Hiroshima, Kyoto and Hiroshima and Osaka, they're kind of in about a little bit of a triangle. So you can pretty much, I would definitely recommend that all in the same prefect or the same train zone. So if you did want to, the rail pass we got the triangle rail pass, which gets us to three different places.
Mm-hmm.
We got a week long triangle pass, or was it 4 days? I think it was four days.
No, it was 4 days.
Yeah, so we bought that pass for about $150. Now, getting the bullet train from Kyoto to Hiroshima is actually about $100 as it is. So you can buy a rail pass, and these rail passes work for pretty much all of the above ground trains. So they've split up into two sections. You have the subway and you have the JR, which is the Japan Rail. If you get a rail pass... And this is what a lot of people don't know. They get a rail pass thinking they can use all the trains. That's not true. You can get a complete rail pass, which is subway and rail. But a lot of people buy the rail pass, try and get on the subway, and you look like a tit when you try and get through the gate and you hold up everybody because you can't get through the gate. And once again, back on the Japan thing, they're very polite. But if you're impeding on their like daily routine, they tend to get a little bit annoyed, which I think Kia got stuck in one of the... was that me? It was probably me. It sounds like something I'd do. Got stuck in one of the gates and...
Yeah, Mattson always got stuck in the gates because again, the snowboard bag.
And then Kia, instead of helping me, would run away, so she looked like she didn't know me. So all these Japanese people fucking hated me.
Yeah, so tip, if you're using your snowboard bag, roll it in front of you, because otherwise if you roll it behind you, the gates...
It'll shut on you.
Yeah, the gates think it's another person.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, back to the rail pass. We bought a rail pass for about $150, and that you can use that all around. So we actually got it from... Kyoto to Hiroshima. We used it all around Hiroshima, and then we actually were able to use it to get from Hiroshima to Osaka. So pretty much we got about $300 worth of bullet train travel for $150. So I would say really weigh up where you're traveling to, because if you are traveling around, look at the how much it costs to get there and then weigh up, okay, will I be using it a lot when I get there? Am I going to multiple places? How much will the bullet train cost to get from three different places? Is it better to get a rail pass?
Because a
lot of travel agents, and like, I'm not saying that they do what's best for you, which is awesome, but a lot of travel agents will get you a rail pass. And a lot of times if you're just using it for just JR travel around one city, there's no way you'll meet that $100, $150.
Yeah, because we just bought, like, every time we were going somewhere, so just in terms of everyday kind of stuff, we just, like, you can get, like, what would be equivalent to the Go card.
Seiko cards.
Yeah.
And Seiko cards are actually pretty cool because they work at convenience stores as well. So think of them as, like, a
Go card.
Or like a tap and pass card, you know, what is it called? The pay pass? They're like a pay pass card. So you can use them to buy
things.
What
is a pay pass card?
Pay pass, that's what it's called. Where's your wallet? It's
your bank card.
Yeah, but it's called, look.
It's not called a pay pass card.
Look at that.
It doesn't say pay pass on it.
Where did I get pay pass from?
That's what the thing is. It's not a pay pass card.
Well, I'm starting my own business and it's going to be called pay pass. Anyway.
So you can do that, or you can be like us, and we literally just put in a few yen or whatever it was of how much, like old school trying to, you know, it's going to be 270 yen to get to this location, and you just put in your coins.
You can use a machine too, and a little hack too, 10,000 yen is equivalent to about $100. If you use that to pay for things, once again, on the inconvenience side of things, they don't really like you paying with 10,000 yen notes because it's like paying with 100. They got to check it. It's all kind of, and it's a lot of change. So if you don't want to deal with that awkward conversation with, you know, someone from 7-Eleven or someone like, oh, do you have any smaller change? Use your 10,000 note to pay for a train ticket because you can actually put it in the machine and it'll spit out your 1,000. It'll break it into 1,000s for you, which means you just don't have that awkwardness of like, I don't have any money, sorry about this change, blah, 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 blah.
Or you can be like me and I literally broke the machine twice.
Yeah, because was it because you put too much money in?
I have no idea, it just kept on erroring.
Yeah, I think it's just because you suck.
Yeah, pretty much.
Transport's very cheap around there, but just be conscious if you are going to get a rail pass, make sure you weigh up how much you're going to use the train yeah, it just weigh it up. Use a bit of common sense.
And then in terms of other methods of transport, we also took a long bus back from Hakuba as well. You can get those big overnight buses.
Yeah, and you can get those
too. We did it overnight, didn't we?
We did. To get to Hakuba, you've kind of got a couple choices. You can catch a train, and trains are quite expensive to get to Hakuba. Obviously, if you go to Niseko, that's at the top of the island, you will have to catch a plane. So I've never actually been to Niseko for that reason. Just getting my snowboard bag on another plane just seems fucking annoying.
We're really not selling the snowboard bags.
Look, you will save money if you bring your own snowboard, but be prepared for inconvenience because it is shit. And especially if you've got a girlfriend who's not strong enough.
I am strong. I'm just like lazy. That's my issue.
Well, at least you admitted it. but getting transport to the snow, I would recommend an overnight bus. Overnight buses cost about $50 Australian, and they are quite relaxing. All the buses have Wi-Fi. They stop off like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, so you can go to 7-Elevens.
It's warm. They give you a blanket. It's actually not that bad. And if you've got Netflix or something, you can download all your stuff using the Wi-Fi. So you're pretty... And it's got little USB things.
And I would definitely, like, if you, like, so I get really seasick or, like, motion sick, car sick, everything sick. I'm just very weak. So if you're someone like me and you want a budget, but you do get pretty sick, I generally find that sleeping, like, just knocks me out and, you know, it helps me cope with these sort of situations. So I was actually fine when I slept on the overnight bus. I felt okay. But it was more so if you're going on these buses for long journeys during the day and, you know, like for me, if I'm trying to avoid the seasickness, I need to just look out the window the entire time, and even that won't work very well.
It's tough to do at night.
You can't do it at night, so that's why you sleep. But like during the day, you know, otherwise, and you're going to probably get bored as well. And like, look, again, saves on accommodation. We didn't have to pay accommodation for a night because we just slept on the bus.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. Getting transport around, they're way ahead of the game in terms of trains, taxis, buses. You can use local buses.
You can probably use Uber as well, honestly.
Yeah, Uber's, you wouldn't really need to. There's enough cabs and they're all affordable. I mean, the whole reason you use Uber is because cabs here are pretty out of pay range. But
honestly, we don't even use taxis. We just use trains for everything.
Trains, like, and walking.
Yeah, like Australia is so far behind. Yeah. Like, I don't even know what the difference between rail and subway is anyway. They're literally the same thing. Oh, babe.
Oh, no, change the battery pack. Is it still recording?
No, it's not gonna.
Okay. Let's keep going on the audio, and then I'll...
You should just add the audio to black or whatever.
Yeah, I'll add the audio to, I'll add the audio to...
Mason's learning how to have a guest.
I'm learning, yay. I'm so glad I did this with you first. Yeah. Anyway, we'll go for about another 20. We got probably about 20 minutes of footage.
Exactly. And we should probably talk about accommodation anyway. Oh, it's back on.
No, it's not recording. I'll give it a go. See if...
Just leave it. Just leave it. Okay. So accommodation though. So majority of our accommodation, we did a combination of hotels. We don't really use hotels. But in some cases it does work out quite cheap. So we did hotels. I recommend probably doing hotels on the first and last day of your trips at least. Because it's so nice being in a hotel, but they are incredibly, incredibly small. Like think of your bedroom and cut it in half and put a bed in there.
Yeah.
That's probably how small it is.
And especially once again, if you have a snowboard bag, it's very shit because there's nowhere to put it. So I think I had to put mine upright.
Yeah, but like, look, like I've only stayed in about 2 hotels in Japan, so I don't really have much to go on. But they are nice. They are really luxurious. But in terms of us, because again, saving money, I'm really picky with what I eat anyway. We like to cook a lot of stuff at home, and you can't really do that if you're staying in hotels all the time. And that would probably add up an expense anyway. So we decided to go for Airbnbs, because you can cook at home, but also it makes you feel like you live there, which is the coolest thing.
I think that's the best thing about Airbnbs because they are super affordable. You can find plenty. Airbnbs are a business that has really taken off in Japan, and I really think it's because they're such a respectful culture and they have a lot of trust in people. So that's probably why there are so many Airbnbs, and they're all very cheap. Like, I think our accommodation in Kyoto, we were there for 7 days, and I think it cost us $250 each for about, I think it was $500 for
the week. So our budget for accommodation is generally between like $100, under $100 a night, essentially. So the cheaper the better, but also you don't want to go too cheap. So if you are using Airbnb, make sure you look at the reviews. The first time we went to Japan, we got this awesome deal. We found this Airbnb that had only just opened up, so they were doing it really cheap, so that they could get reviews. So literally we paid something like $20 a night, and it was so nice and awesome. So yeah, generally I would say keep your budget for stuff probably maybe, you know, in the ballpark of maybe between $50 and $100 a night. And you know, if you're going with someone else, you just split that in two and it becomes a lot cheaper. Yeah,
and you can get a lot of, especially like, I mean, I went with a group of boys. There was four of us, and I went with my two other mates another time. And finding places where there's three or four, it's super easy to find three or four.
Yeah, it bedrooms. Is. Most places actually like allow you to have more than two people anyway.
Yeah.
But in terms of the bedding, there's a lot of different varieties. So we obviously there's your normal bed. Now we have this funny thing that always happens to us because we're so cheap on accommodation. We always seem to get two single beds. Yeah. Like the majority of our trips to Japan, we haven't even had a double bed.
I think there's only been two places where we had a double bed. We've had the place in Kyoto had a bed, two single beds that were pushed together.
But also, like, when we first, in our first place in Tokyo this time, we decided to have the whole Japanese experience, and we decided to get a place where you had the futons.
It's called tatami.
Tatami. Yeah. So you literally have, like,
tatami is where you pretty much, and a lot of, it's very traditional in Japan. A lot of people use tatami still in Japan. So it's pretty much just a little mat you roll out. You pretty much make your bed every night, and then you put it away in the day, and you've got kind of a living room, and then when you want to go to bed again, you roll it out again. So
in terms of comfort, it's like, I didn't find it too bad, but I'm pretty good at sleeping in things, but you didn't
Yeah, I would say if you're kind of like a bigger bloke, and I'm not saying I'm big, I'm pretty small, but if you're someone who needs specific sleeping, if you need a bed or a thick mattress, don't do a tatami, especially if you're there for a long time, because the floor, it can like fuck your back up a little bit. I know, even in a bunk bed that we had in Tokyo, my back up.
That was the worst.
Yeah. So, really be conscious of comfort. Like, it's all well and good if you want to experience what it's like and all that sort of jazz, but definitely,
I would say if you're there for more than 2 days, definitely make sure you're staying in a decent place. Like I didn't like the second place we stayed in Tokyo though. No. And that was, it was just,
it was small.
It was bunk beds. It was small, and I was sick that day as well. Yeah, and then I'm just.
I think we actually used the top bunk as just a storage.
Yeah, but the other thing that's really good about Airbnbs, and again, this is beneficial if you don't want to use your phone's Wi-Fi. They often come with these things called pocket Wi-Fis.
Yeah.
So essentially, it's about the size of your phone, and it's just
like one of the battery packs.
It looks like a battery pack, like a portable charger. And what essentially you just connect your phone to it via Wi-Fi.
You have Wi-Fi wherever you are. And it's like, for me, who was playing Pokemon Go 24/7, it was really, really good for me. And especially for you doing a lot of your work for your business. So if you are someone who works predominantly online, or you have something you need to do, it's way easier.
Saying that, I wouldn't fully rely on it because I had to do some online consults when we were in Osaka and use that. But then I decided I had to just use my phone.
Tethering. Even with that, we sometimes, like, one of us would activate our phones and then we just tether off each other.
So again, $2.50.
Yeah, because cellular data in Japan is next level. I think you can go anywhere and.
I don't know. Yeah. Not ever. It's not like too bad. You have it. Like, I definitely don't think you have more 4G. I don't know. There were some times where I didn't find it as strong as Australia. I think I was doing Skype calls, so I don't think that was, played a part. But again, I wouldn't always rely on those pocket Wi-Fis. When we were in Tokyo the second time, we couldn't even get the one to work. Yeah. So, you know, it's definitely, I would say, choose places with those because highly likely they'll be fine and no issues. But
usually they put it in the reviews as well. I remember I wrote a review where I said, it was all good, blah, blah, blah. But pocket Wi-Fi is slow. And I think The big thing with Airbnb too, and especially in Japan, is be honest with your host.
Yeah.
Because they are so good. If something doesn't work, they go above and beyond to kind of fix it up.
Except for this dude. Except he for was that just dude. Like,
I'm pretty sure
he's just like, switch it on off.
Yeah, he's like, turn it on and off. And I was like, sick, man. I haven't fucking thought of that. Yeah, but, you know, traveling to Japan, if you want to, do Airbnb. They're readily available. They're really good. Unless if you're going to the snow and you want an Airbnb, you need to, and it's a must, you need to book it about 6 months in advance.
Yeah.
Because they get really busy. And I guess in Airbnbs in the snow, they're more catered to like big houses. Yeah. So if you're going in a group of like, you know, 6 to 8 people, Airbnb is 100% your thing.
And be prepared to pay a bit more in the snow as well.
For sure. But I think that's everywhere you go, any country, the snow is always a little bit more expensive. I just personally think the snow in Japan is a lot cheaper than most countries. So
yeah.
I would suggest maybe looking at hotels. You could get a hotel somewhere like we've got times we were there. Well, I've been there 4 times and stayed in hotels, and they've been fantastic.
Yeah, so we stayed last time. So when we went in January, we stayed in a place called Hotel Grace, and that wasn't too bad. The Wi-Fi was terrible.
Sucked, and but also like hot water went out too.
No, that wasn't that place.
Oh, what was
that?
Oh, that was what? Was
oh
that?
My gosh,
that was Wind Inn. That's Wind Inn. Right.
So we stayed in this place. This was the first time we went to Japan about maybe 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And
definitely went on a budget again.
It was even worse. So that place we stayed in, so there's different parts of the mountain, but we stayed in a place called Goryeo. And oh my gosh, you know, it's like negative 10 degrees in Japan. Then we got 2 separate beds, which is fine. Mm. No issues there.
And 2 separate beds last
time. Then we were so far away from the shops, we'd have to walk 1.5 hours to get to the shops each time.
Mm.
And then the water went out. Like, so only it did cold water in our apartment. So we had to go. So they're like,
no, they gave us money back, but they also let us use this onsen, which I like.
I
don't know really.
No, I like the onsen. It's weird getting naked in front of a whole like bunch of like Russian ladies and their children. Like, it's a bit awkward.
Yes, you have bitches.
But like, it wasn't too bad. The only issue I had was we had to walk like 100 meters up the road to go have a shower and a bath.
You gonna be okay?
Oh, shut up. No, but it's kind of annoying when you get home from the snow. All you want to do is have a nice warm shower and get straight into bed.
Very true.
And like, especially
small things. It's a small thing that you think about it. You're like, I won't really do it. But when you're in the moment, it does. Yeah. You're just like, I just want to be warm.
And then, it was just hard. Because again, well, Matson wasn't vegan that time we went. So I remember the first time we got there was a restaurant attached to the place.
And I could eat whatever I wanted.
And I just had edamame.
And edamame, for those who don't know, it's just like soybeans. So they are really nice. They're like a staple food for me when I'm there.
Yeah.
But yes, they are quite annoying. But the food there is, especially in the snow, there's not too much. So I think we'll do another podcast specifically revolving around probably eating, like, maybe your face. There's no nut.
Why don't we just talk about it now?
Well, we're going charging through 50 minutes here, mate.
Yeah, so you've got 10 minutes left. We can talk about food.
Okay, so right, let's talk about food then.
We might as well never get to it.
Yeah, no, good point. But I want to talk about some experiences too, but I reckon we just
do. We'll do experiences another podcast. Food.
Japan number 2.
So food, my favourite part.
Okay. Yeah. I'll let Kia Pates take this away, considering this is your forte.
My forte. If you don't know, I'm a dietitian, that's why.
Yeah, I'm a dietitian now.
Oh, shut up. Okay, so in terms of food, so in Japan, so definitely highly recommend the convenience stores. Now, in the convenience stores, there's so many cool foods.
And I just stopped you. Of course,
butting in.
We actually have a whole bunch of footage around all these foods. So as Kia is talking about it, if you are listening to this on Spotify or iTunes, I would definitely recommend, especially from maybe the last 10 minutes of this podcast,
going to YouTube.
Go to YouTube, have a look, because I'll actually show you all the stuff that Kia's talking about, because we do have footage of it.
Yeah.
Because Kia was very, very naughty in Japan, and you shouldn't actually take videos and stuff in convenience stores. But Kia was in there with her camera and her
tripod. Well, I was going to do a YouTube video and then I got around it.
You know,
anyway, so in terms of convenience stores, so there's, I think, three different types. So there's 7-Eleven, Lawson's and
Family Mart.
So they're essentially mini supermarkets. They don't actually have too many supermarkets in Japan.
They've got a couple. You've got to Google them and they'll usually pop up. They're pretty convenient.
Yeah, convenience stores are convenient.
Convenience stores are probably more convenient.
Really? So in terms of certain things, like obviously if you can eat everything and you're not vegan or anything, that's great. You can pretty much eat anything.
Go to town. Hit the onigiri, hit the sushi, hit whatever you want. You have free reign. If you're not vegan and you're in Japan, you will have the time of your life, especially with food. It's great food. It's readily available. There's restaurants in every corner. You do not need to stress.
I highly...
Unless you're allergic to fish. Sorry.
See, Madsen's always like, going to let Kia talk. Then, oh no, just talks the entire time. In terms of, I would highly recommend downloading the Google Translate app. So this is just for all areas of Japan anyway, because you can take a photo of, say the back of a packaging. So for us, because we're vegan, always have to look at ingredients list, see if there's any meat or et cetera in there. And essentially it will convert it to English. So that was highly interesting because you'll find out what weird stuff they actually put in this food. Yep. But the big things to always go for, especially for me, was the onigiri. So there's a few different types you can get.
What is onigiri, Kip? What does onigiri look like? What would people be looking for if they wanted
onigiri? So Google it.
My biggest thing about onigiri is if you've ever watched any anime shows, Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, whatever, onigiri are those little triangle rice balls. They're huge. Onigiri was a staple food for Japan. I actually did a bit of research on onigiri. They used to give it to soldiers to eat because they were easily made. They stick together and they're lots of carbs, so for lots of energy. So the way they used to look at it is they give them to soldiers to keep them energized, carbs. I may as well be a dietitian because I'm talking about nutrition more than you.
Congrats. They're like little rice balls and then you essentially put on the seaweed on top. Mm. Now, definitely Google how to put the seaweed on the onigiri because we literally worked it out like at the end of our trip how to properly do it. There's an easier way than taking the rice out, then taking the seaweed out, then putting them together. You can actually...
They're very systematic people. They love everything to work perfectly.
Yeah. So essentially as a vegan, the main ones that we ate was the seaweed one. So that's actually really nice. Now you have to try it even though I know it sounds weird eating seaweed.
Otherwise, it was probably my favorite.
It was my favorite, definitely. And there's also a pickled plum one. It was like, I don't have a sweet tooth. Yeah, so like,
I don't like sweet and savory food.
I know. See, it's kind of weird thinking about like having like, you know, fruit in sushi, bit weird. But anyway, and then they also had like a mustard greens one, which is just your usual greens, but I don't think I even ate that.
And if you're not vegan, they have tuna, chicken,
salmon.
They got a whole bunch. And they restock them pretty much every 3 hours. It's like clockwork there.
Have something called natto. So I highly recommend trying natto. So it's soybeans. Does get weird after a while. It's really sticky.
It gets on everything.
It's really sticky. So just make sure you've got something to hold, you know, or wipe your hands. Yeah, to natto. But I highly recommend that. So that comes more in a seaweed form. And there's also all your chips. So many different drinks. The soy joys as well. And the squishy treat things? What are they called? You know, the jelly things?
Just jelly cups.
No, not jelly cups.
Yeah.
They're circles. We got them. They're pink. You ate it. There was some sort of mochi. So they have mochi. So mochi is gelatinous rice.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's really weird, but really, really tasty.
It is nice.
Yeah, yeah, so I highly recommend trying those ones too.
Yeah, don't leave them in your bag because they squish.
And they have soy milk. So, you know.
A whole different bunch of flavors.
Yeah, they have like chocolate. Peppermint flavor. Yeah, they have sweet potato flavor.
Yeah. And I think
and banana.
They also have a range of like Starbucks coffees that you can buy. I don't think they have black coffee if you are vegan, but if you're not vegan, if you don't want to spend $6 on a coffee, you can spend $2 on a hot coffee there.
Saying that, we've got Starbucks like every day.
But you can pretty much get a coffee from a 7-Eleven. It is like, you know, sometimes you get coffees from like servos or something and it's not as strong. These ones are actually really good. Yeah, they're quite strong. So yeah. I think we were getting them from vending machines in the morning.
And, yeah.
That was really nice.
Yeah, that was really nice, actually. Yeah. And then we just get our soy milk and mix it together.
Yeah.
There's also all your kind of 2-minute noodle stuff there too as well. Yeah. And they've got a whole lot of... They've got a heated section. Vegan food, there's none. But oh, actually, there's probably hash... No, there's not even hash browns.
No, there's some like, have hash browns. But yeah, there's like a lot of chicken and stuff like that. I mean, even as a non-vegan, I probably wouldn't recommend it.
They do look questionable.
They look very questionable. They look like all the... They just look like fat.
And they
just
have this... Fat. And they, like, again, I haven't tried it, but they have this weird traditional soup thing that they do.
Yeah, yeah.
What's that called?
I have no idea.
Oh, they have... It's called, like... It starts with a U. I think it's, like, called... It's not udon, but it's, like... I've got no idea.
No.
But it's a weird soup thing. You'll see it if you go in.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's that. So, but we also went to supermarkets. So, because most nights we ate at home,
to save money on a budget, you can go to a supermarket, spend probably $15 between two of us, and get a whole bunch of pre-made sushi.
Yeah. So, we got
had vegetable croquettes.
Yeah. So, highly recommend the supermarkets there. Some are better than others, but they are awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we
just don't expect to get fruit. You will pay probably about $20 for a punnet of strawberries.
I remember. So there was a 350-gram thing of grapes for $30 there. Yeah.
Fruit is definitely hard to come by.
So if you're there for a long time, might be worthwhile as your friendly local dietitian to take a multivitamin.
Yes.
Because you're probably not going to be eating a balanced diet.
Definitely.
Anyway, so, but there are like pre-packaged salads that we got all the time. And there's a few salad dressings they have that are vegan or non-vegan.
If you're non-vegan, go ham. There's plenty of stuff that you can buy. It's very easy. If you are vegan, there's 3 or 4.
And they've got edamame frozen as well.
They've got... chips, drinks, you can get bags of corn.
We'll put a few videos up about the sort of stuff we ate most nights.
Lots of
sushi though. Inari. Yeah, lots of inari as well, which essentially is this soybean, it's like a soybean, I wouldn't call it like a flap, but it's like a
flap. A soybean flap.
Well, like you flap it over the...
Yeah, like I love eating soybean flaps.
It's like a...
Moist soybean flaps.
Shut up. But yeah, it's like a soybean essentially roll. Yeah. Or, and it's kind of... It's just like...
So I think to kind of put it in like a bit of a bag, put them all in a bag.
Yeah.
How much do you think... As two, so a couple, would we have budgeted for food over the entire time, do you think? Just food.
I don't know.
I reckon if between two of us, I reckon we went for 4 weeks.
Yeah, so maybe $200 a week? No, it wouldn't have been even that much.
I reckon like 800 each.
For the, 4 weeks.
Six to eight hundred, maybe for two of us.
I don't know, because like honestly, for breakfast we'd just have the onigiri, which is about a dollar. They're honestly like they're really cheap. They're about a dollar or two. Then you can be like us and go spend $6 on coffee every day, which we stopped doing by the end of it. Then we'd usually have one main meal out, which you know we'd try tons of different restaurants, and that would be around that could often be around your usual normal price that you'd pay here in Australia. So maybe $15-$20 if you go somewhere. Cheap, it could be $10, and then we'd always eat at home. So I would say the meals at home maybe $5. So what's that? So don't something maybe that. About $20 or something, you know, a day and whatnot for food.
Yeah.
And yeah, sometimes you can make it cheaper. Like, there was a few times I made pasta and stuff like that.
Yeah, it depends. It realistically depends whether you want to eat out or you want to eat at home. What type of cooking facilities you have.
Yeah.
You stay in hotels, you obviously won't have any cooking facilities, but a lot of Airbnbs, you usually get a stovetop, cooking utensils, cutlery, plates, all that sort of jazz. So.
And maybe talk about that sushi place you went to. I know you couldn't eat anything, but wasn't that really cool, that fish market?
Yeah. So we went to a sushi place. I highly recommend a sushi place in Japan because a lot of the sushi you have, especially in Australia, it's not really like sushi. You can get fresh. And I know I went with my mates and they were really big on it. We actually went to a place where it served like fresh fish. And when I say fresh fish, I mean like caught in the morning, served as sushi.
Wasn't it actually caught, like they sold it right outside that place?
Yeah, they literally sold it right outside the place. So, you know, as a cruelty-free type person, it was, I was like, this is gross. But, you know, as someone who also appreciates you know, fresh food and all that sort of stuff. It was really cool to kind of see it. It's there. And then all of a sudden it's on your plate and you're eating it within a day rather than, you know, a lot of places who buy it like 2 weeks, they freeze it and then they use it. So, that was really cool.
Yeah.
So food over there, if you're not vegan, it's very accessible.
And if you are vegan, it's actually not too bad either. We had some amazing places. So in terms of, we went to that, there's an Ainsow Journey, which are really good.
Great burgers. It's probably the best burger I've ever had. And that's vegan and non-vegan burgers.
If you're in Huckabar, there's a cafe on the mountain called, it's not called Evergreen.
It's on Evergreen Mountain, but I can't remember what it's called.
Oh, it's called, I always forget it.
Yeah, same.
But if you go to Evergreen Mountain, you'll find it.
Yeah.
Roots Cafe. Roots Cafe. They have the most amazing food there. Yeah. Highly recommend.
And like I said, once again, vegan, non-vegan, it doesn't matter. It's such a good feed. I know majority of the people that go to Roots aren't vegan.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a giant kind of place. They do it. It's cheap food. I think it's $10 for the lunch deal. And the lunch deal, you get a choice of like 3 different meals. So if you are on a budget, it's great to come in.
And the salads were awesome. Yeah. And like they'd have like a meal of the day. So sometimes they'd have curries. That's right.
And they give you the choice of the three and you just pay $10. Yeah. And they sell really good coffee, chips.
Coffee, the coffee there. Yeah. And then there was one other place that we got food at there as well, which was next to our hotel. So next to Hotel Grace, there's the Reverse Bar,
what's it called? Refuel Bar. And they do a veggie burger as well.
They do a really nice veggie burger too, which was actually awesome.
And that's a great place because it's you buy a drink and you get a free shot.
What?
Yeah. No, it's not. That's Happy Hour. It does that.
No.
Really?
No.
Maybe that was the last time I went.
Yeah, that's definitely not there. No,
because we were just drinking
Chew Highs.
Chew High.
So there's these things called Chew Highs and they're awesome. Definitely recommend them as a drink. They're like, you can get different flavors like peach Chew High.
Yeah, it's really nice.
And
they're easy to drink.
And you can also buy alcohol at the 7-Eleven too. And they have some strong alcohol there.
And they don't really mind if you drink in the street either.
Yeah. Cool. As a top tip though, related to food, don't eat while walking. It's really rude.
Yeah. You have to eat. Same with drinking too. Yeah. If like drinking in public is kind of okay. I wouldn't be obvious that you're drinking in public. Yeah. But if you are going to do it, make sure that you are standing still. You're walking and I can't remember what it's called. There's a term for it.
I don't know, but the Japan, it's like inconveniencing others.
The term means you're inconveniencing or you're offending other people.
And that's the same. And it's the same as talking on the train. So in terms of things that I definitely research for yourself before you go to Japan, pardon?
Like etiquette, training.
Yeah, just general etiquette because there'll be a lot of things. And I think this is sometimes, one of my friends is over in Japan at the moment and she says sometimes the Japanese don't always like the Australians. And I think that's because sometimes. Yeah.
There are a lot of dickhead Australians.
There are a lot of dickhead Australians.
Yeah. It's just common sense.
You just have to respect other people.
Don't be a fuckwit. Yeah. That's pretty much the only way
That's the summary of it. Yeah.
Kia Pates, we've been smashing this for an hour, an hour and 5 minutes. We've already lost the video.
Yeah.
So I reckon we wrap it up.
So summary?
We'll wrap it up. We'll do a bit of a summary and then I think we do a part two of things to do in Japan.
Yeah, definitely.
I think some good chemistry between us going here. You may be a reoccurring guest.
Because you got no one else to interview.
Shut up. Summary. Look into your flights early.
Yeah. Be very careful if you're going to bring a snowboard back.
Yeah, look, just be prepared for inconvenience. It's cheaper, you're going to save money, but yes, it is a pain in the butt to take around. So just be prepared. Don't get there and be like, oh man, I thought this was going to be easy. It's not going to be easy, but it's worth, especially if you've got two of you, you save like $800, $900 on. So you got to weigh up, is the inconvenience worth like $1,000?
Yeah. Definitely download Google Translate and that's for food, but also just translating anything. So a big issue that I had, which wasn't an issue because Mattson kind of knew what we were doing, but the train signs are all sometimes written in katakana or another one for it.
They're essentially the Japanese symbols that
they write in.
Yeah. And then you have hiragana, which is the English.
Yeah, exactly. But you can't understand what it means. If yeah. like, because it's not like you can say, like, say a different language is like, say something's written in German. No, you generally
it's Romaji. Romaji is the English. It's the English lettering, but in Japanese words.
Yeah, yeah. I think katakana and the
other katakana and hiragana. Yeah, they're the same.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're the symbols. So what the Google Translate does is translate those symbols, so you actually have a good idea of knowing where you're going.
Yeah.
Definitely look into internet. So you know, obviously, you know, we all love to live in a world where we don't need internet, and you know,
you probably need it.
And honestly, yeah. So definitely, there's heaps of free Wi-Fi though. But if you want it all the time, definitely look into whether your phone plan has that $5 a day roaming. Honestly, Vodafone and Optus has it. Most companies are going to start having it anyway. And just that goes where traveling overall. Definitely if you're vegan, download Happy Cow. If you're not vegan, go crazy. Also in terms of allergies, so if you have a peanut allergy or a fish allergy,
be very careful.
Definitely recommend, you can get these little cards online.
And I'll say that says, you can't have it.
Yeah, that says, you know, I am allergic to fish, avoid all fish products, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And
I think the last point, well, obviously we're going to do another one about this, but the last point is definitely be open to everything. Be open to everything. Talk to people. I mean, I talked to Yo-Yo, shout out to Yo-Yo again, the bartender, and like he ended up finishing his shift and then he came out for beers with us, showed us around Osaka, and that was really cool. So really be friendly to the locals. They love Australians for the most part. They love, because we're such a different culture to them.
And they often like learning English.
Yeah, and they find it really good to learn English off talking to Australians. So really be friendly, be open with people. Make sure when you're at a bar or something, especially at a small bar, talk to the owner. Like, you will find out some amazing things if you talk to the owner or the lead chef or something. I know we went to a restaurant in Kyoto and had a really good conversation with the lady who owned the place. Which was, you probably don't remember, but I remember. She was asking us.
The one that I filmed.
Really cool. Yeah. She was really cool. But I think in all...
awesome country. Definitely recommend.
Definitely recommend. We'll do a second part to this podcast down the track where we talk about things to do. So thanks, KP, for coming on and having a chat with me and being the first guest on the Inner City Hermit podcast.
No worries.
No dramas, mate. I'll make sure, if you're interested in anything Kia does, I will link her Instagram, I will link her Facebook, I'll do all that sort of stuff for her, hoping that she'll reciprocate.
At the plant-based underscore dietitian.
That's it. So that's, if you need any of your nutrition needs, anything like that, she isn't just a vegan dietitian. She does work in all sorts of health-related industries.
Yeah, I'm not crazy.
You're recently just doing a thing with, is it endometriosis?
Yeah.
What's it called?
Queensland Endometriosis.
Queensland Endometriosis, which is a really, really cool, really big organization, especially for women. So go have a look at all that stuff. She's got some stuff coming out soon. She's got some podcasts with a couple different people, including yours truly. But other than that, hermits, have a fantastic rest of your day. Have a fantastic rest of your weekend. If you're going to work, as I always say, have a fantastic day at work. Tell someone you love them. Tell your mate they're great. Kia Pates, you have beautiful hair.
Thanks.
And build each other up. Have a great time and catch you later, hermits. Thanks for listening.